Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Thursday to you. I am Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. And Mayor Thursday, Mayor Jordan. He's not the mayor. We have a city councilman and the public affairs officer from Washington City here today. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Andy.
Happy to be here.
Appreciate you being here. Kurt, let's get that microphone a little closer to your mouth so we can hear you. And the old coach, and I got to ask you, Kurt, before we get rolling on Washington City, it's that time of year where for 30 years you were getting all that microphone didn't like you, apparently. I don't know, maybe it's your jacket. He didn't like your jacket. No, for 30 years, though, you were getting ready. You were actually coaching right now. Baseball was such a big part of your life, longtime assistant coach at Dixie High. And I know it's been a couple of years now, but do you still kind of this time of year get that feeling, Kurt? They're like, I should be out there helping the boys.
You know, I really enjoyed my time coaching and the success we had, the friendships that we made. But I'm very content going and watching games. I've actually watched the Flyers play several games. I've watched the Trailblazers play several games already, and I plan to watch more games today, actually.
Nice. I got to ask you, it's a hard question, but your favorite moment of all the years of coaching, a favorite moment or two, or maybe favorite personality or two through the years that you developed while coaching?
Well, you know, winning the state championships is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were fortunate enough to win 6 during my 30 years at Dixie, and we're very proud of that, an average of 1 every 5 years. But winning state championships, what comes to mind is early on, a catch by a shortstop in 94 that won state championship for us. And I think of 2017 with a freshman home run that won us the state championship.
I recall that very well. Left-handed freshman playing in his first ever state championship.
In a pinch hitting role.
In a pinch hitting role and pulled one to right field.
He sure did. And I was out on the bases and it was kind of surreal. I sat and watched it sell out and I didn't really understand the magnitude of it until a few seconds later. And then, of course, the last one I'd mention is in 2018. We had a walk-off bunt to win the state championship. So, you know, those are all good times.
I still have that on video on my phone, that walk-off bunt to win it all. That was something else.
Yeah, it was fun when Coach called that. You know, once Coach gives a sign, you have to make sure that it gets confirmed. And as soon as our batter confirmed it back, I said, I think we got another one. You know, because I knew the guys. So I knew they were going to get it done.
And you were at third base, right?
I was at first.
Oh, you were at first base. Yeah. You were at first base.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good time.
It was fun.
So you won 6 championships as an assistant coach for Dixie?
That's correct, yep.
That's amazing. 3 with Burke?
Got 3 with Burke.
3 with Burke.
1 with Jeff Messerly, and then 2 with Danny
Hibson. Oh, okay, there we go, yeah.
All great men, great coaches. Had a lot of fun.
I know Roger Christensen up there in the press box was with you for a lot of that, too. Roger loves the Flyers.
Yeah.
He does. In fact,
he's still there.
Roger is a Spanish Fork alum, and he loves Spanish Fork. And the other day, that was a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to him. I'm like, the only thing that Roger loves more than the Dixie Flyers is the Spanish Fork Don. He goes, hold everything. He says, I've made the full swing. I love the Dixie Flyers more than the Spanish Fork Don, which is saying something about him. So, and by the way, I think Dixie beat Spanish Fork like 18-0 or something this past weekend. So
yeah.
that probably made Roger pretty happy, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program. Jordan is here. Hi, Jordan. You doing all right, man?
I sure am. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. You are your title technically public affairs director. Is that what it is?
It's actually legislative affairs director, also do the public affairs and communications for the city as well.
Washington City, which is, we decided, what, 35,000 ish now?
About 38. Closer to 38.
Wow.
Yeah, we're growing like a weed.
Yeah, for sure. Now, someone told me, and I don't know if this is accurate, but they're saying Hurricane is slated in the next 15 years to pass Washington City population-wise. Do you know if that's true or not? Have you heard?
I have not heard that, no. Because all the statistics we see show that we are the fastest growing in the county. So.
All right. Hurricane is bigger geographically than Washington, so maybe they have more room to grow, but that's okay. That'll be interesting to watch.
They are right now, Andy, but with an annexation plan, we would actually be the biggest geographical city in Utah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think St. George is one, Hurricane is two, and Washington right now isn't in the top two. But like you said, with maybe some annexations, maybe that will change. Yeah. Interesting. All right. We were talking before we went on the air about the state legislature, which just wrapped up. And I always joke around, but it's true that the entire job of state legislators and all legislators is to create bills, create more laws. And I'm like, do we really need more laws? And I it's not that simple, obviously. That's a simplistic way of looking at it. But what were your guys' impressions of the state legislature this year?
Yeah, there were over 700 bills introduced this year.
Wow.
Now, some of those are big ticket items. A lot of them are just little tweaks, because every time you want to amend a bill, it takes an additional bill to make those little changes. So a lot of those are the little, you know, tinkering around the edges. But there were some big bills this year. We got money for the airport tower, because right now our traffic control comes out of Los Angeles, actually.
Which is ridiculous, but yeah.
And so we'll get that. We got money for additional reservoirs that we need. Also a tax break, at $170 million tax break. So our tax rate will go from 4.65% down to 4.55%
right.
In the state income. So that's good. We had a great relationship with our legislators once again, very responsive to our needs. Councilman Ivey and I were up there every week. There were so many bills that have direct impact on city building codes and basically everything a city does as a political subdivision of the state. A lot of these bills would have big impact on our cities.
In fact, this year, Andy, we tracked more bills than we ever have before because of the direct impact to our city and into the state. And it's funny, you mentioned how many bills there are, and having conversations with some of the legislators, and you say that, and they've got a canned response. It's kind of a joke, and they say, "Hey, I think that's great. You get so and so to not run any bills, but don't try to stop mine. You know, you can stop theirs, but not mine."
Exactly. Yeah.
But Andy makes it, or excuse me, Jordan makes a good point, and that is that there seem to be a lot of bills that directly impacted our cities on how we do business and how we regulate and serve our citizens. And of course, we feel like the electeds closest to the people are the best represented, and we appreciate our legislators. They're great friends. They're so responsive. We have personal relationships, and they will get back to you. They're just great men. And so overall, we felt like legislature was good for us this year, but I would also say it wasn't without a pretty good fight too at times.
Yeah.
Are there any, you were talking about some that will affect the city, are there any that will affect like the everyday lives of people that they'll feel right away when the bill goes into effect? I mean, Jordan mentioned, of course, the tax cut, that's going to affect us all. But anything else, Kurt, that you can think of that's going to affect day-to-day living of everyday people?
Well, probably the thing that was most impactful was a bill that was ran that would have limited the city's abilities to inspect new development, new residential, commercial. And that bill was introducing a third-party type inspector that would give builders and developers the options of using private sector rather than city inspectors. And the upside, or the perceived upside of that, was that sometimes cities are slow. They're not that responsive. Now, that's not the case in Washington. We pride ourselves on that. We have great relationships with SUBA and our builders. And we understand that we need to be a very functional part in that cog to get the product out so people can have homes to live in. But in other cases, you know, there's some cities that are kind of bad actors. And so the whole state gets lumped in to some of these bills that really are intended for some bad actors rather than cities that are doing a great job like St. George and Washington and Hurricane and several cities in our end of the state.
What One really interesting bill that Senator Ipsen actually ran was a school safety bill. And this, I think, is an important bill to all of the parents in the community. The sad reality is that we live in a society where parents are concerned about the safety of their children at school.
Yeah.
And this bill appropriated millions of dollars for school safety grants, millions of dollars for additional safety tools in classrooms. It created a chief school safety director over the whole state. The goal is to have a resource officer in every single school that is armed and trained. However, there are police departments and agencies that can't afford that. And in those cases, this created a school guardian program where teachers can voluntarily go through a firearms training. And so that if a crisis arises at a school, we have teachers in the schools that are ready to act. This is an important piece of legislation for any parent out there who wants the peace of mind, you know, when they send their children to school.
Oh, I agree. Those that listen to the show know I'm a big advocate of, you know, of people who are trained carrying guns. I think, you know, one of my buddies who comes on the show occasionally, Dave Romer, he says, look, are you going to go, if you're a bad guy and you're going to go shoot somewhere up, are you going to go to a place where there might be someone who also has a gun who will shoot back at you? Are you going to go to a quote-unquote gun-free zone knowing nobody's going to shoot back at you? And,
right.
Yeah, that's where you're going to go, probably.
Yeah.
So I love that legislation. I think it's great. I asked actually the Terry Hutchinson of the Washington County School Board about this, and he was kind of gave me a politically correct, like middle of the road answer. But I'm glad to hear you talk about that, and I'm glad that the legislature said, yeah, let's make sure if a teacher has the desire, and you're a former teacher, Kurt, if you has a desire to properly carry a gun, to go out and get the training necessary so that you are carrying it properly, and you know the ins and outs of it. It's awesome.
And you know, Andy, there's another way to keep children safe that doesn't involve any kind of firearm, and that is there's been a lot of legislation and talk recently about, you know, public or social media awareness and platforms. You might have seen in the national spotlight that the House has passed a bill regarding TikTok that now is in the hands of the Senate, and President Biden has said he would sign it. But what I saw as a teacher spanning 32 years at Washington Elementary is that I saw that we used to use a chalkboard and textbooks to a lot of online and interactive type things, which is where the world is going. But I think there's value in remembering the basics and remembering where learning actually comes from. It comes from sitting down and with a good book and a paper and pencil maybe and learning how to do things. But social media has been an issue. It concerns me when I see children on iPads and it becomes their babysitters and things.
Yeah.
When I would love, I'm sure like you, Andy, we grew up with a baseball or a basketball and we found friends and went and played outside, which would be ideal for every of them.
Our biggest concern was a sticker patch in left field or something like that.
That's right.
And full disclosure, Kurt did teach about two of my kids, was it?
Yeah.
Bryce and Holly?
Yeah, Bryce and Holly.
Yeah. So as a fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
A fifth grade teacher and did a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate that.
And, retired teacher, but not retired from being active in his community. And that's why he's serving on the city council for Washington City. Well, I know you guys brought an agenda, some things you wanted to talk about. Where would you like to start?
Well, the mayor gave a State of the City address just last week.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we excuse Mayor Staley. He is in Hawaii.
He right is. Now. Lucky so him.
I feel really bad for him that he couldn't be here. Not.
And it was a packed house. Rigotti's sponsored pizza for everyone. Oh, we had Rolly's ice cream. It was a party. But Councilman Ivey is going to give kind of a recap of that with some update on some numbers and projects. And, you know, it was a great event. Like I said, full house. Over 200 people came out to listen to Mayor Staley. And
nice.
So Councilman Ivey's got kind of some updates.
And Kurt, we've got 5 minutes till commercial break. So give us maybe the first half of it, and then we'll come back to it after we break.
Well, first of all, you know, Mayor Staley does a great job. We're very proud of him that he's our mayor, and he does a great job. In his State of the City, he announced a lot of new projects that are coming to Washington. Some, we have a lot of other projects that we can't quite disclose right at the moment, but there's some huge announcements coming.
Like a certain grocery store at a certain place at a certain time.
But at a certain one, yes, yeah. A certain one.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're excited about that because we understand that through this commercial growth is how we keep from raising taxes to pay for our public right. safety. And we've always been very proactive in serving our Washington City police and fire departments. And we're very proud of the recreation and the parks and trails that we have in Washington. But, you know, so far, probably the most telling number so far this year is that we've already issued 193 residential building permits.
Wow.
So we're setting new highs all the time, you know, and we're kind of busting through inflation and interest rates are starting to get to where they need to be. But we've had a lot of new businesses recently announced. There's a Residence Inn by Marriott at Greenspring exit. There's a Homewood Suites by Hilton at Greenspring. Panera Bread's been announced. There's a Hyatt Hotel at exit 13. And then Seven Brothers Burgers is at exit 13. And then,
Seven Brothers Burgers. I've never heard of that.
They actually originated in Hawaii.
Okay.
Oh. And they've got a location up in Provo, and they're expanding to southern Utah.
Nice. Do you know,
delicious food, by the way.
Do you know a date on how long that's going to be?
Just coming out of the ground.
No, the signage is up.
Oh, is it?
Yep, because it's already built. So it's right next.
Just a couple months in, maybe, and they're open.
Yeah, it's the building. They share a building with the new Chipotle.
Oh, okay. They share the building. Okay. Yep. I just thought it was one next to it. Okay. But the one last thing I'd want to talk about, Andy, probably that people are really kind of asking about is the Solente project. This is the huge PCD, Master Plan Community, north of I-15 between Exit 13 and the north end of Greenspring. They've broke ground. And there's been a little bit of confusion in the community about the trails because their project sits right in front of five, you know, trailheads and then the dinosaur
right.
tracks,
right.
Elephant Arch and all those up in there. And then just understand, if anyone wants to go there, they are open. There's signage that will direct people how to get to the trailheads. And with that, you know, just understand that they do have a right to be in there and that they understand that and they can visit those trailheads at any time during their construction. So.
Okay. Hiking is still available, folks.
Hiking is available. Four-wheeling, maybe not so much.
Are you a hiker, Kurt?
I'm not. I need wheels under me.
Yeah, I'm kind of a wheels guy, too. What about Jordan? You're a hiker, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm a hiker.
You're out there getting after
yep.
it. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're climbing mountains and with all the equipment and, mm-hmm. and rappelling down and stuff like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Curtis, he's crazy, right? He's young.
If I walk in the mountains like that, I have to have a gun. It's just
haven't come across mountain lion yet, but
all right. What we're going to do now, and if you guys will hold on just a couple of minutes, I got a couple of items of business got to take care of, and then we'll talk more about Washington City when we come back. First of all, let's talk about the rock concerts going on in Mesquite, Nevada. The Casablanca Showroom in Mesquite is bringing you an epic lineup of different rock tribute concerts every Saturday in the month of March. This week, a tribute to the 80s, back when Kurt and I were young. They're going to feature the music mostly of U2 and the Police, although I'm hoping they'll slip a little Def Leppard or something like that in there. A true 80s experience that you're not going to want to miss at the Casablanca Showroom in Mesquite, Nevada. Looking for a fun date night? Head to Casablanca this Saturday night. For more information and tickets, go to CasablancaResort.com. And by the way, going to give away right now a couple of tickets to go see that 80s experience, the true 80s experience this Saturday at Casablanca. Give us a call right now at 435-673-5890. And by the way, not only do you get two tickets if you call in, but you get free drinks for the evening as well. Again, the phone number is 673-5890. Stockton is there. He'll answer, and we will take, what's that, Stockton? First caller. All right, first caller is going to win the prize. We'll do that right now. And then when we come back, we're going to talk with Joe from Advanced Windows.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. We're here every day, 9 o'clock. And coming up after my show, BYU is going to be on. Yeah, I know. A lot of you are like, wait, what about Clay and Buck? They will resume regular programming on Friday. One more day BYU game to do today. It's a weird time. They're playing at 10:30, so we'll have the pregame and everything for you here on KDXU. Congratulations to our winner of the tickets to go see that 80s, true 80s experience down in Mesquite. James C. was our winner. I'm not going to give his last name because his friends will be like, hey, take me! But James is the winner of the concert ticket and free drinks down there at the Casablanca Resort. Jordan tried to get that too, but Jordan wasn't fast enough.
No, I was not.
Jordan and Kurt, Jordan Hess, Kurt Ivey are here from Washington City today. Mayor Chris Daley is floating around in the Pacific Ocean right now, enjoying his time in Hawaii during spring break. I guess when you get, he's still got kids in school, right? So he spring does. Break is when you have to do things. And I'm an empty nester now, so which is kind of nice. Kurt knows what I'm talking about. A little more freedom. You don't have to plan things around spring break anymore. But it is baseball season. Kurt, are you a baseball fan, like top level down, like major leagues and all that stuff too? Or are you strictly a local baseball guy?
I'm a local baseball guy, and I'm a football guy from the top down.
Okay, nice. Nice. You have what's your team in football?
Well, I'm kind of a seasonal fan, depending on who's doing well that year.
Okay.
I don't have my solid team, but I have teams I love. But what's been fun is I have three grandsons, Kai, Lex, and Hendrix, and they all have their teams.
Okay.
And I love to hear them kind of talk back and forth about who's going to win and who's the best. And no, we just love watching sports. That's my favorite thing in the world to do is watch high school and then university athletics.
I grew up, Kurt, down in the Houston area.
Oh.
And was a big Houston Astros fan, a big Houston Oilers fan. It was weird. I was a fan of the Spurs. Of course, I was a little closer to San Antonio than Houston, but I liked the Spurs. Did not like the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. Never have. But the Oilers went and moved to Tennessee. That really, and I had moved out of Texas by the time the Houston Texans came along. So I don't really feel much affinity to them. But loved baseball, football, basketball, all the way top down.
You always have, Andy. That's one thing I know for sure about you.
Big sports fan. Yeah, and I was lucky enough, and I found a career where I actually got paid to watch sports a lot of times. years ago, I had this, I was working for the Deseret News, but out of Southern Utah, and they called me and they said, hey, we need somebody to do our Jimmer watch. Remember when Jimmer played for BYU? And I said, what do you mean Jimmer watch? They said, your whole job is to watch the game on TV and log how many minutes Jimmer played, how many times he touched the ball, how many possessions they went with where he didn't touch the ball, and then, of course, how many points and rebounds and assists and everything he had. And those, until I started writing stories now for Town Square Media, I was getting 60,000 to 80,000 hits on these stories about Jimmer Fredette. And all I did was watch on the game on TV and take notes. It was the craziest thing and biggest audience I'd ever had. And all I was doing was watching TV. So it was kind of fun. We're talking Washington City today with City Councilman Kurt Ivey and legislative affairs specialist? I don't know.
Director.
Yep. There we go. Director Jordan Hess. And Jordan has been working for Washington City. Has it been about 2 years now?
Over two now,
Over
yeah.
Over 2 years.
It's been a great couple of years.
And full disclosure, my wife does work for Washington City, so she knows these two really well and occasionally has to tell to kind of get them to fall in line.
Yes, that's for sure.
But just so you guys know, that happens at home, too. Occasionally, I have to fall in line and do what because she usually knows best. But we were talking about the state of the city. Obviously, Washington City right now, very healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, the growth, like you said, one of the fastest growing cities in America, well, in Utah. Utah, faster growing state in America. So by that logic, obviously one of the fastest growing cities in America. Somebody had texted Kurt and asked about the car dealership down there on exit 13. Do you know any more about who's coming in? They had asked specifically about a Lexus dealership. Do you know anything about that?
So last night at our city council meeting, the owner of that development was there regarding a little bit of an adjustment to their site plan. And I asked him how things were going, and he indicated that they have broken ground on the Hyundai dealership.
Okay.
They're in conversation with other car dealerships. They are considering this car dealership to be high-line or high-end type of vehicles. Lexus is one of them that, excuse me, that they are speaking with as well as others, but they haven't announced any that are secure as of right now. But I know Lexus is one that they would like to get.
Awesome. That's cool. I just noticed that we have a caller on the line. I believe it is one of our county commissioners. Gil, is that you?
Yes. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Gil. Hey, you have a question for our Washington City folks?
Well, Jordan and Kurt, thank you. You are excellent partners in creating a greater Southern Utah, and love Washington City and all the progress you've made. Enjoyed the mayor's State of the City address and the history there, but I was a little alarmed to see the Great Wall of UDOT going up. could you say a little bit about that? And what was alarming is I got to talk to Mayor Staley about that. He said, yeah, you know, the residents wanted that. I don't think they knew it was going to be 14 feet tall. But and nobody loves freeway noise. I pick it up where I live. But my concern was that Mayor Staley said, yeah, that would be the first of many to come. Ooh. And that alarmed me because we have such beautiful vistas from the freeway, and all of a sudden you come across, the only wall I want is, you know, 500 miles south of here. And and I hate to see our taxpayer money building up a sound barrier that is also quite ugly.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it has some motif in it, which thank heavens for the city council and the mayor that got UDOT to do that. But otherwise, I'm sorry to say, but that is ugly.
Mm. Any thoughts on that, Kurt? Jordan?
Yeah, that was a decision that was driven by UDOT. And I guess that our population now merits that, those types of walls. We were grateful for UDOT for working with the city. They wanted to just either have it blank or slap some Wasatch Mountains on there. And we said, that's not going to work for Southern Utah. We need it to at least match our surroundings. So I actually drew the design on a little napkin, and we kind of sent a picture in and said, can it look like this? And they said, yeah, we'll send this on to our designers. And the product that came back is much better than what it was. But yeah, I know that there are a lot of people concerned about losing those vistas. It's not going to go the whole length of the city. I think it's like a mile or two long total. But I'm not sure about there are much more of those to come. That's the first that I had heard of that. So I'm not sure what the plans are for the future.
You know, it kind of indicates kind of where we're at in our growth, because I know I've seen those in Salt Lake traveling, especially like on Redwood Road. And,
yeah.
And I thought, kind of, well, I'm glad we don't have those in Southern Utah. So it's not something that I think that any of us like, but for the residents that they're designed for, to maybe cut down some of that traffic noise and give them better quality of life next to the freeway, then that's kind of what we were, you know, the upside of it, I guess. But I do agree with Commissioner Holmquist. They don't add to the splendor, beauty, or to the vistas. But, you know, again, UDOT has been good to work with. They've been very responsive to our requests and trying to personalize the improvements, and remembering what we're trying to do is affect positive egress from exit 10. You know, that's such a busy intersection that whole development area there is to drive traffic away from exit 10 or give them other routes to get to exit 10
right now. Right.
So.
Well, you know, I lived up in Salt Lake before I moved down here. Now, this was 30 years ago, but that's when they really first started putting up those kind of sound barrier walls on the freeway as the freeway got, I was going to say the freeway got closer. People and their houses got closer to the freeway, and they started to be concerned about the sound. And it's definitely one of those, it's a fine line. You've got to figure out. Because I know people there were like, yay, sound barriers. And then all of a sudden it was blocking the Wasatch Mountains for them or the Ochre Mountains. And they were saying, hey, wait a minute, we lost our view. And it's like, well, didn't you just say you wanted a sound barrier? You know, you can't have it. You can't have your cake and eat it too, I guess, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's a fine line that we have to walk. I know if you live right by the freeway, it's not a pleasant thing to have. And it's not just at 8 in the morning and 5 o'clock at night. It's 24/7 that these big trucks come rolling through. And it's, you know, one of the reasons we moved to where we live right now We were close to 300 East in Washington City before, and that road, it was not the freeway, but we had motorcycles and trucks going up and down that road all the time. So for us, we wanted someplace that was quieter. That's an important thing for a lot of homeowners. I know it was for us.
Yeah.
So what else you got for us, Kurt?
Well, I think probably what we discussed is, excuse me, is discussing about water.
Yeah.
I help out on the State Water Board where we discuss a lot of our water needs. You know, we're definitely receptive to the idea that there's a water concern with the Great Salt Lake and that environment there. But we actually live in a desert, and I would just like to start off by saying, Andy, how thankful I am and how blessed we are for the rainfall that we've had these last 2 years to kind of pull us out of historic drought and get us our heads above water, so to speak. and we're always pressing for things to improve our water condition. I know it's a source of concern for our citizens. They worry about it a lot. And what we're really, as a Washington County, I think we're all unified in the idea that we need a reuse pipeline from the treatment plant back to a storage facility that's going to be built in Washington City in the north end of Little Valley. And I know that, Warner Valley.
Warner Valley.
And I know Jordan had some stuff that he would like to share, Andy, if that's...
Yeah, well, let's do it. Actually, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Jordan more about Warner Valley, the reuse water, the potential reservoir that supposedly they've been talking about for 100 years. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Mayor Chris Stanley, Washington City, is in Hawaii. Lucky guy. Wish I was there. Is he on Maui? Do you know what island he's on or anything, Jordan?
I don't know.
Jordan Hess is here, as well as Kurt Ivey representing the city. And we're talking water a little bit. It's funny, if you ask Zach Renstrom, who is the Washington County Water Conservancy District president, he'll be like, Warner Valley's coming someday. I don't know, what does that mean someday? I don't know. We've been talking about it a long time. We're working very hard to try to get it done. But, do you have any more insight for us, Jordan, on Warner Valley?
The land exchange, I think, is moving forward, and then it's just got to go through the permitting process. My guess is no sooner than 5 years, could even be 10. But as Zach likes to say, we don't know exactly when, but the plan is for that to come. But you're right, water is the number one thing on most people's minds, especially when you look at how quickly our communities are growing. The number one question that we get at the city is probably, well, are we going to have water to sustain this growth? And I've got some really good news today on that front. Washington City is the first city in the entire state of Utah to have every single home equipped with advanced metering infrastructure. Now, what this means is that I have downloaded an app on my phone that tells me in real time how much water I'm using at my house and how I'm using that water.
Wow.
So I'm going to actually pull that app up right now.
Really? Okay.
And I'm going to go to Tuesday of this week, March 12th.
Okay.
And let's see here.
You can tell when you took a shower or when your sprinklers went on.
I used 20 gallons of water on Tuesday. It looks like 1 gallon at 6 p.m. That was probably flushing a toilet. 13 gallons at 7 p.m. That was probably I took my shower.
Yeah.
3 gallons at 7 a.m. getting ready for the day, probably filling my dog's bowl, doing my hair, brushing my teeth. Shaving. 3 gallons at 7 a.m. And then 3 gallons again at 11 p.m. getting ready for bed. 20 gallons in a day, and I know exactly when and how I used that water. And what that does is it allows us to be more conscious about how we're using our water. And in 2021, Washington City was using 182 gallons of consumptive water per capita per day.
Wow.
182. Last year, that was down to 156 gallons. So that's 30 gallons fewer per day per capita. And our population has done nothing but grow since 2021. So we're using 15% less water today than we were in 2021. Wow. And our population's probably grown 10 to 15% in that same time. So you can download, if you're a Washington City, and sorry for these other communities in the county.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. But Washington City's ready to go. If you go to WashingtonCity.org and go to our public works page, it'll teach you how to download this app, teach you how to track your water usage. It is a really cool thing that we can look and see exactly how. And the other benefit of this, if you have a leak at your home, this app will detect that leak and notify you so that you can take care of that leak before your basement's flooded.
That's one of those things that Mayor Staley was talking about a little bit about when he was first talking about this program. He said there were people that had no idea they had leaks.
Right.
Maybe it was in their sprinkler system or wherever, where you would never, ever know about it. Except if you had maybe lower pressure for when you were trying to water your grass. And he said, we would call these people or they'd get a notification or whatever and say, hey, you've got a leak. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. And end up saving thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water that way. That's awesome.
And money.
And money.
Water is money down here, right?
For sure.
So we're really proud of that, to be the first city in the entire state to have this infrastructure. And like I said, go to WashingtonCity.org. Go to our public works page. There's a video, a tutorial on how to download the app, how to utilize the app. And I think if we can all just be a little more aware of how we're using our water will go a long way.
Awesome.
You know, Jordan, just to put a finishing note on that is that we've been so impressed with the residential metering that we've now put funds in place to do commercial metering because they have 2-inch lines. A break at a 2 or 3 or 4 inch line would lose a lot of water. What we're trying to do is notify. It also notifies our city staff who reaches out to the owners as well to let them know.
Awesome. All right, Kurt. We're down to about 4 or 5 minutes left. What else did you have? I know there were a couple things you wanted to make sure and get to.
Well, yeah, I just kind of a shotgun here for a second, just to give citizens a good update. So our logistics center is the logistics center out west, east of the St. George Airport. It's a capital investment of $400 million. It'll be a 15-year build-out. It brings in $600,000 to schools, $100,000 to the city in property taxes. But the best thing about this, according to my perspective, is that it's going to provide jobs that pay at a level that people can actually afford to live here, live above the threshold where they can afford a home. And that's really important. We're excited about ARA. There's now a lot of other partners that have jumped on board with them being the first in and are ready to take some business out there. I want to give an update on the Washington Wheels Park. This is something that everyone's excited about. It's something that has been in the works for a while. I met with the park builder, Aaron Spahn, the other day. I've been in communication with Tony Hawk. His foundation is going to help support our park for our efforts in trying to make our Wheels Park all abilities and conscious of safety factors for all recipients or all participants. So we're excited about the Wheels Park. It's coming. You'll notice that it's been masqueraded. They will start on that, be on site and start working on that in the middle of summer. Then hopefully we'll be skating there by next year at this time. And then.
And by we, he means Jordan, not Kirk
you.
And I.
Yeah. Then as part of that build out, Andy, there on George Washington Parkway heading east, the road that will connect into SR7 and then continue under SR7 where you could actually go and turn north and go up into the DR Horton project. Mm-hmm. That has a completion date of around the middle of May. So that'll be able to complete that there. And what we're trying to do there is create that nice east-west travel. You know, we've got the freeway that runs nice east-west. We've got a few little minors, but this George Washington Parkway is going to be a major east-west. There's continuing to build out the road going south from Suki Farm down to Ara Development. But this is a major announcement, it'll have a major impact for our city. And for the growth, you know, in the south end of the town as we continue to build out that way and consider some annexations in adjoining properties out there, this will be a major component of that. And, you know, the only other thing that I'd mention is that you know, there's some really some good capital improvements coming to Washington to help with some trails and some other things that it's very important. Recreation is important to Southern Utah, and we want to be make sure that we provide really good recreation, because we're seeing, Andy, as you know, homes, as more kids are being pushed into maybe apartment buildings or something, they don't have the ball fields and the things that we have. So we have to be, as a city, very proactive in using rent money and other funding so that we create these recreational opportunities for our kids, for our residents, for our visitors, to have a nice, safe time to spend quality family time.
Like Kurt said, when we were young, you wanted to go have some fun. You went outside and created your own fun. Now, you know, a lot of kids would rather sit home and look at their iPad or their phone. And if we can provide, Kurt, some opportunities for them to get out and do something outside, whether it's pickleball or whatever, then we're all for it. Skate park, whatever it is.
You know, absolutely. And we're very proud of our youth recreation program in Washington. But the one thing that we're working on right now, just as kind of a sidebar to this, is that we're looking at implementing a little 7-on-7 league for kids. For football, you know, kind of, I've got our flag football, but doing a little 7-on-7 for the future. So that's something maybe we're going to start in the near future.
Very, very cool. Well, Kurt, thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.